o'clock. Bill, quickly, how do people follow your information, your work, what you're interested in?
I would suggest, I'm one of the on the board of directors of the Mary Farrell Foundation. We dedicate ourselves to putting these documents up so everybody can see them. We've got
website.
Website, maryfarrell.org. You can just say Mary Farrell Foundation in your Google browser. Take you right there.
Beautiful. Thank you, Bill. Come back soon. We got to keep talking. And that's it for us. And Flashpoints. See you tomorrow.
La ville en fête et en délire, suffoquant sous le soleil et sous la joie. Et j'entends dans la musique les cris, les rires qui éclatent et rebondissent autour de moi. Et perdu parmi ces gens qui me bousculent, étourdi, désemparé, je reste là. Quand soudain je me retourne, il se recule et la foule vient me jeter entre ses bras. Emporté par la foule qui nous traîne, nous entraîne, écrasés l'un contre l'autre, nous ne formons qu'un seul corps. Et le flot sans effort nous pousse enchaîner l'un et l'autre.
You are tuned to listener-supported community radio, KBOO Portland.
Did you know that KBOO podcasts all our news and talk shows?
You can find the podcast on KBOO's website, kboo.fm, on Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher.
Just search for your favorite show and hit subscribe to get all the latest episodes downloaded to your favorite device.
Or search for KBOO on iTunes, Google Play to get all the KBOO podcasts.
Hello.
Hello.
Okay.
Hello. Welcome to Art Talk Bus Stop.
Welcome.
This is our October 2021 episode. This is a kind of different episode than usual because what we're going to do this time is we actually don't have a special guest. We have two of our regular podcasters. I'll let you two introduce yourselves in a moment, but we don't have a working artist that's visiting us today. We just only have two of our regular podcasters, and then we're going to have a segment, a special report from an alum that is going to talk about the TBA festival later on. But first, I wanted to just have an episode where we get to have a conversation about what it's like to be a young artist right now. So we have two folks with us that are on the show all the time. Do you want to introduce yourselves?
Yeah, I'm Nicole Cabrera, and today we're going rogue. Off script today.
And I'm Ayanna Ross.
Hello, Ayanna. Welcome back.
Hello.
Glad to have you back on the show this month.
Thank you.
Well, for those of you who've been listening for a long time, you probably know Nicole pretty well by now. And if you have listened for the last few months, you probably know Ayanna. Nicole is in sophomore year.
I don't know. College? Probably. That's what college tells me.
Second year of PCC. And Ayanna, you're a senior, right?
Yep.
At which high school?
Roosevelt.
Thanks. Yeah. And so you're kind of in two slightly different places in your art lives, and very different places than a lot of the guests we have, who are usually people who might be 10 years or more older than you two and have been trying out being artists for a little bit longer, or sometimes even a lot more years than that. So I just think it's kind of nice to hear like what it's like for you trying to figure out how to be an artist and what that's going to look like for yourselves, or a creative person, as Nicole, I think, maybe will tell us a little bit later. So I guess I want to start just by asking you both, what is interesting to you about working in like an art or cultural kind of role?
Do you want to go first, or
you can go first?
Okay, I'll give you time. I think as I've gotten older, even just making that transition from high school to college, seeing just how much hidden media there is in like everyday life, or like just every work that you can go into, like there's just so much that you wouldn't even think of. And I think that sometimes when people say I want to be an artist, sometimes it's not that you want to be an artist, it's that you want to be a creative person, creative worker, which I think is completely different from being an artist, because you could be working for like a company where you create like logos and just stuff like that, or making assets for them and their company, versus like being an artist of your own, you're constantly creating work for yourself. And neither or is like a bad thing. It just depends on what you want to do and how you want to live your life. Because I know for myself, it might be hard to be my own artist and constantly pump out all this art. Because I know we talk sometimes behind the scenes of how hard it is to like meet personal deadlines, and having some deadline by like a boss or a company is different than when you're like, I think, an independent artist. So that's kind of what interests me, being more of a creative person, or creative creator for someone than like an artist. I don't know about you, Ayana, but I think, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's kind of the same as a lot of the artists that I, you know, remember listening to within the last couple of months. They all, you know, said it was a form of therapy for them. And I feel like that's kind of the same for me too. But then it's things like My Strange Fruit sticker that, I don't know, make me want to be an activist with this, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think a lot of the guests we've had on the show are sometimes all of those things, you know, like a lot of artists are not making most of their income from like experimental work that they might think of more so as like their actual art or something. That's kind of me too. Like that's kind of how my life works too, is like I don't make most of my money or my income off of like experimental things that I think of more so as like my art. But like, Nicole, you know, your work, your interest in doing like design or producing and stuff, like that's a lot of artists make a living off that. Or, you know, Ayana, a lot of other artists that we've had on the show think of themselves also as activists. And maybe those things are not that separated anymore. The more we do those things, it's hard to separate and they just kind of become one thing for a lot of us. But have there been episodes or particular artists that were especially interesting or meaningful to you, or that you got something really specific out of that you think about a lot?
I remember when we had Gloom Bones. When he was talking about finding your style, he was saying that your style will find you as much as you find it. And that's really encouraging for someone that hasn't really, it's not that I haven't found it, it's just like I feel like there could be more to it. Mm-hmm. And so when you say that it's going to find you as much as you find it, I don't know, it kind of feels like an end to the like searching for it, if that,
yeah. It makes sense. Totally. Yeah. Because I think what he was kind of getting at was like, that trying to work in a style that's not coming naturally to you is like, maybe not, you don't want to force that to happen. And that like the way that you make things is your way.
Mm-hmm. And like, I feel like some people will look at other artists and be like, wow, I really want to make that. And they'll try to recreate whatever they see rather than just, I don't know, as if it was their own style.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sorry about that.
No, it's okay. I'm looking at your cat behind you, and I'm like, I hope your cat doesn't jump on the computer. It's fine. You're good. What about you, Nicole? What things do you remember from previous episodes that have been especially interesting or inspiring or helpful?
I think it wouldn't be fair not to talk about this person, Poppy Fimbres. Yeah, I feel like there's not much else to say unless you haven't listened, but definitely a really great episode, and just how charismatic he is, and you can just really tell the work that he does is just, it's all from the heart. It's what he loves to do, and it's all raw and just very, like, I don't know, it's just, I feel like you can't describe it, you know? Just like him himself is just very like inspiring. Even if I don't want to become a musician, just like the motivation that he has in his work and the way that he puts himself out there and stuff like that is just, I don't know, it's just really inspiring to be like him.
Yeah, me too. I think anybody, it really does help you see like what it looks like when it's all you can, like when someone is like so driven and like also it's so natural for them to be doing what they're doing, mm-hmm. and their like passion for their work.
Yeah, Poppy Fimbres. Just great. Also, oh shoot, I'm like blinking. Do you remember who was the last person we interviewed in person?
Oh, wow. The last person in person was probably, let's see, it was Kelly, then Ryan, then Renee, and then Leaf J. Lee.
Yes, there we go, Leaf J. Lee. Yeah. I just also really enjoyed their presence. Like,
mm-hmm.
I think it's different. I feel like we'd be able to feel those presence if we, you know, were in person now, but... being that was like our last episode in person, looking back on it, it's like, wow, there's like a connection there where you're seeing a person in real life and you're able to like see their reaction real time, and I just remember like Leaf J. Lee being just like a very like calm but also like there's something charming about them. Maybe it was mm-hmm. because I was in the
like when we used to do in person, yeah. We had the gallery. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I was in the gallery.
Yeah, so you were maybe able to like mm-hmm. focus on listening rather mm-hmm. than like worrying about what you're going to ask next.
Yeah.
Nicole, has it been difficult for you to be in the moment when you were interviewing somebody because you're focused on being a producer, or are you able to listen for a little while and then like as you feel the question kind of wrapping, then you're able to like jump back into kind of producer?
I think it's like kind of 50-50, and I think it also definitely depends on the person, because mm-hmm. I remember when we did the episode with Roya and Roshni, I think we even reflected on it before and after. We were like half panicking during it and like before and after. It was like, whoa, that was intense. Yeah, sometimes it's just really natural and sometimes it's like a little hard, especially Especially since, like, you know, we're not in person, and I think for me, sometimes it can be really hard to read people. I feel like I don't read people as well as I probably should be, which is fine. It's fine, but yeah, definitely.
Totally. I can relate. I teach my students on Zoom, and I've done that now for 2 years, and it's sometimes really hard to read the room, you know, like you can't see if I imagine also as artists, like people who, you know, I was used to doing a lot of my work as like in-person performance kind of work or things like that. It's really tricky to get like a sense of emotion through the screen. Yes. Yeah, which is why I think another reason that like the Poppy Fimbres episode was so incredible, because it was like we were like laughing and like it was like emotional ups and downs, and like it was like, you know, it was like so like, yeah, it was just like a very like emotional episode in a lot of ways. It was cool. Yeah. Cool to see somebody just really like work the room that way.
Like I feel like he gave us energy, like he fed us his energy, and we fed off of that. For sure.
So I want to switch gears a little bit and just hear, for me, this project, the podcast that we're doing, is an education project in a way, you know, because I feel like what's happening here is like you guys are getting a concentrated kind of experience where you get to like direct your own arts education, but you also both had art class in high school. And are like, maybe Ayana, I'm not sure if you have art class this year, but you know, you've had art class at school. And so I want to hear like, what was your art class like at school, and what do you wish it had been like? Like what's missing from art class at school? And also what's good?
Mm-hmm. Ayana, do you have an answer? Do you want me to?
I mean, I do, but
you go ahead. Yeah, no, yeah. Go ahead. You go ahead.
I feel like when you have art class, they don't, I don't know, they don't really teach you, like, or from my experience anyway, it was kind of in projects, and that's how it was separated, and, like, I may have been taught a few techniques or whatever, but then here you can actually see how people have made a living out of it, and you don't learn that in class at all.
Yeah, I think I definitely share like a similar like experience. Luckily for me, it was such a weird like coincidence, but I had a friend who we happened to have almost all our art classes together. Up until like, I think it was up until I did independent art, and she didn't do that, but I continued that. But I wish art was more started at a younger age, mainly because I felt like I was repeating stuff. Like I started in middle school, right? And then got up to high school and they have you repeat all over again. And sometimes you do get the chance to, you know, pass that stuff. But even then, I feel like there's not a chance throughout your education, starting from like K to 12. There's not enough time to do all the stuff you want in high school. Like, I wish I could have done all these other art classes, but I couldn't because I was stuck, you know, starting at block one with a prereq class. And I wish, you know, we started younger so that by the time I got to that age, I would be able to grow more than I wanted to. And luckily for me, I had, you know, a photography class. And I also had a couple of other different art classes, but I wish there was more. There's not enough time you can do in high school of art. And then once you're out of high school, you have to pay for it for college. So that's not fun. I don't want to pay for it. but it was also nice though to have teachers that were encouraging. I think in some people's curriculums, it allows for you to grow, and some teachers, the curriculum isn't made for you to grow. It's just more to teach you about the stuff and then do the assignment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
just what you took. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we're agreed.
Yeah, well, yeah, and that's the sucky part too, because sometimes there's just students in there that are there for a grade, and you're not with people who are like-minded. Versus, mm-hmm. like, once you get to college, you're in a class that is not a prereq for these people, and they're genuinely taking these classes because they want to, because they have an interest, and they're not going to, you know, mess around in the class and shift focus onto themselves, or, like, you know, like, distract the class. They're not there because they don't want to. They're genuinely there. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
Nicole, were you saying that you didn't have, like, in elementary, you didn't have art class?
No, I don't, like, I'm trying to, like, think about it, and I don't think I had, like, a designated art class. Maybe, like, uh-huh. an after-school program, but nothing that, like, stuck out to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What about, Ayana, did you have elementary school art classes?
Like, I remember having, I believe it was Sabin
mm-hmm.
Elementary that actually had an art class. And then when I went to Park Rose, like sixth or seventh grade, I had like a graphic art class.
And
for some cool. school.
Mm-hmm.
And then one, like for a little bit in eighth grade, I had a little bit of art class, but
mm-hmm. but not a lot.
It was okay.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
So during, over the course of like doing the podcast project together, what was your understanding of art when we started? And like, has your understanding of art changed from doing the podcast or not? And if it's changed, how has it changed?
Yeah, I think it's definitely changed. And I think even like two episodes in, there's just so much you learn. And I hope, Ayana, I hope from the time, you know, you started, that you've also learned a lot, even though you've only done a couple of episodes by now, I think. But yeah, like I mentioned earlier, there's just so much hidden art around the world, so much hidden media around the world that needs to get produced and put out into the world. Like, you know, curators, like when we met Ashley, yes, mm-hmm. yes.
Mm-hmm.
And
is Ashley Stollmeyers?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah.
And, oh man, I'm just like trying to think of everyone.
I can help you with names if you forget to.
I feel like there's so many people we've talked to, but I mean, I didn't even know that you could become like an installer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, there's just so much. And like, I think it really sucks because most of the time people like that, like where you're brought up as an art person, or taught about art from a young age, sometimes they get put into like really good academies, or they somehow happen to be able to go to academies for whatever reason, whether it's to a scholarship or something. But then when you go to like a public school, that's not encouraged as much. And like, I feel like it needs to be more available to students because there are jobs out there. You know, not everyone's going to want to be an artist. Not everyone's going to want to be in the spotlight. Some people want to be producers or people who work in the background. And I just wish people, like, who are... And I, coming from a public school background, that's just not encouraged as much, you know? Like, it's like, go to college, go get a math degree, go get... go become a doctor or a lawyer or something. And it's never about, you know, go become a producer, go become... something else. And I just keep thinking producer because that's what I want to do, but you know, you're not taught these things, but these people still exist, you know, like everyone, I would assume, watches TV at least once in their life. How do those TV shows get made? Producers, who gets taught to become producers? Not mm-hmm. people in public school. Or not all the time. Uh-huh. Let me clarify for that. Just based off of my own personal experience. But yeah. What was the question?
I was just about to be like, what was the question? Oh, I know. It was about whether the podcast has changed how you understand what art is, or, you know, mm-hmm. if it's changed your perspective at all, and if so, how?
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's definitely shown me a lot of, like, varieties of art. And like what I understood before is like, well, you know, people make art and might get money off of it if it's nice or whatever, mm-hmm. but seeing people that actually are living in it, and you know, they do admit that it's not their full-time job, mm-hmm. it helps me see that job doesn't have, I mean, oh my gosh, that art does not have to be, you know, my primary source of income or anything like that, but I could still do it on the side and still feel accomplished or
mm-hmm.
Therapeutic.
Mm-hmm. Or yeah, also that like a lot of people who've been on the show, you know, who, myself included also, who's, you know, who do a bunch of different things for money. But that like it's up to us to call ourselves artists. That like mm-hmm. if we decide we're an artist, then we just call ourselves, if people ask you what do? You can just say artist and it's true. Mm-hmm. Like that's a thing I remember Renee Sills, who came on way back early episode. This was when we were still in person, but I remember that we closed that show with her saying, I hope that no matter what you do when you grow up, that you all grow up to be artists. And I was like, oh yeah, that's right. Because like you can be a bartender or a waitress, or you can be a producer, and you can also still, you know, do what you would think of as your art, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think of Patricia Vasquez, mm-hmm. her like growing up and labeling herself as an artist. You know, she used to do some odd jobs while she mm-hmm. was here in the States, trying to make it as an artist, and eventually, you know, she just called herself an artist, and it came with time, and through not always being grown up in like a background of being encouraged to be an artist, mm-hmm. and she had to, you know, process that it's okay to be called an artist, and yeah, I just think of her, like some people are artists but they don't think of themselves as an artist because it's not their profession,
mm-hmm.
but I think we're all artists.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think anyone who wants to be an artist, if you just start making whatever it is that you want to make, then you are.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, I kind of wanted to ask, Victoria's going to join us later on, so I was thinking like it would be nice to ask when there are two of you, but Nicole, maybe if you want to share, I'm curious, like post high school, what has been tricky for you? What has been hard for you in terms of like finding your voice as a young creative person?
I think, especially with being online, I that definitely adds like another layer of like complexity to becoming an artist. But I think it's kind of hard when, you know, like I said, you weren't pushed to be an artist, Well, and like I have supportive parents who are always like, "Oh, what are you doing?" I'm like, "I don't know, but it's kind of artsy, or it you know, I don't know what to call it, but it's something." So it's interesting, you know, trying to find exactly what I want, because I think over the years I've gone from like, okay, I think I like to draw. Okay, now I'm doing painting. I'm trying out photography. And then kind of going to college and just doing like a general studies of media. I think even now I'm still trying to see what I really like. And I think over the time and years, I've really enjoyed very conceptual art, kind of close to some of the stuff from the exhibit. I didn't get to see some of the stuff in person, but I did get to see some of the videos.
The TBA festival?
Yeah, the TBA festival. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoy making art that is narrative driven, I think.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Yeah. I had a teacher my first year, I don't know what term, fall term, for photography. Her name is Kathy Brittany Adams. But she was a really great teacher. I don't know if she's still working at PCC, but in that class, I got to make like a series of photos and add narrative to that. And that's something I still haven't showcased. I've been wanting to do that for a while, but I think it really shows the love that I have for narrative, especially because narrative is such a powerful thing, and the way you look at something can tell you so much, but then you find out it's not really what you were thinking. And then once you get that context, it really makes you think more. So yeah, it's definitely been really challenging to still find what I like, because I don't think I've explored everything yet. And I think determining the